Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Welcome to the Mac Show from the British Tech Network. I'm Ewan Rankin, and I'm joined for the week's Mac News, and there ain't much, by a fantastic panel, hurriedly put together, but all on time apart from Andy Lee. But I wasn't going to say that. Sorry, mate. I just kind of slipped out. I've got offensive Tourette's. Yeah, top left, Don McAllister. How you doing, mate? From Screencasts Online, just about to release, or you just released something new, I gather.
Yeah, another app in the App Store. I just released SEO Tutor for ScreenFlow. It's the application I use to create all my screencasts. I had a funny tweet before from someone saying, why are you giving away all your secrets? Why are you letting people sort of be able to compete with you? But you know, it's a great application.
No, it's not. It's crap in comparison to Camtasia, mate.
Well,
bloody awful in comparison to Camtasia.
It's the one I use. It's the one that came out first.
Yeah, it's the one that you put your money. You know when you've thrown your hat in the wrong ring, don't you?
Hey? Why is that?
Well, because you've got screencast being done by that and not Camtasia. You see, which is
they're both good. It's just I'm used to ScreenFlow. You see that, so that's my tool of choice.
Yeah, you said ScreenFlow far too much now, mate. Move on.
All right, I won't mention SEO Tutor for ScreenFlow anymore. Then in that case, available at the Mac and iOS app stores.
I am joking, mate. Calm down. Jesus, he's touchy, isn't he? A good week or not? 2 weeks. Yeah. 2 weeks. You haven't been here for 2 weeks, so.
Busy week. I'm taking some time off next week, so it's the usual, you know, if you take time off, you've got to do double the work. So I've been working this week, getting this week's show out, and also next week's show as well, to try and get that all done and dusted. So very busy. And the app as well, of that application that shall not be named, but it's all good.
We've taken ScreenFlow and turned it into the app that shall not be named. Oh, man.
I'm sure I'll get a few more plugs in by the end of the show.
No, you won't. No, you won't. next to him... Andy Light, Ali.
Hello, mate. How you doing?
I'm all right, mate. How are you? I've set the wrong bloody thing. Oh, there we go. What's been happening, pal? You been out working or something?
Yeah. Busy week.
We like working. Don't not working, dude.
Absolutely.
But you're here now. Have you done anything fantastic or wonderful? Or
no, not really.
Same crap, different day.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, mate. I'm glad I'm not you. Beneath him, Chris Forsman from Ars Technica. How are you doing, buddy?
My morning's going better now, so...
Despite the fact that your toilet is now your bath,
yeah.
And vice versa.
Little of both.
They're a little bit askew. Not particularly the best at the minute. How's life at writing for Ars Technica, though?
It's great.
Don't you love Ars Technica? I do love it. I've got to say, I have to try hard to read some of the articles. They tax me. Mentally, yeah. But I do like Ars Technica.
I can also say I love my job. Not many people can say that, but I love my job.
Yeah, that's good. And last but by no means least, and I'm not entirely sure which this may come up, it may not. Nope, not. There we go. Andrew, why the hell have I got you? Oh, easy, hang on, mate. Let's try that again. I can edit, don't worry. And last but by no means least, Dr. Happy Mac.
Last.
There we go. Last. But by no means least, mate. Not at all.
Not least.
How you doing, bud?
Better now, but I'm not least. Somebody must be, by definition, somebody must be least then. Who is it? It's not me. You've just said that.
So, in your world, there has to be a fighting hierarchy. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think by definition, I'm not least. Therefore,
somebody has to be least.
I'm just interested who it is.
Right, we'll let the chat room vote on who's least, please. Nominations should be in by the end of the show, and we'll read out the winner.
Oh, no.
How are you up to, mate? Have you got anything offensive going on in that office yet or not? No?
Yeah, it's really tidy again. This is good radio or podcasting as we move my camera around, but just as tidy as it was last week.
And now, what microphone are you on? Because it sounds like you're on the Mac microphone rather than a decent one.
Yes, I am on the Mac microphone.
Right, okay. Never mind. The week in Macintosh. There's only the four of us, so we're not going to. Now the thing that we've done in a couple of the other shows, and we're going to do here as well, is read out a few reviews. I'm not unhappy to read out bad reviews if you send them in, as I proved on the photo show just before we did the Mac show. But we've got a few reviews that have come in. Thank you very much for people that have bothered to leave reviews. We're going to do an international sweep of reviews next week and see what's been put in some of the other stores. Some of them may be in languages that I can't read out because I won't know what they're saying, but thank you if you have. Here's one from Speedy, and he says, best Mac podcast by far, great guests, funny and informative chat, and a must for all Mac users. Thank you ever so much, Speedy, for bothering to do that. Do appreciate it. And Bad Tinnitus, I wonder what his problems are, says, great guests and hosts who balances the robust conversation without being a prude. After my comment on the Mac show last night about Mr. Zuckerberg's wife, I don't think anyone could accuse me of being a prude. without any genuinely funny and informative, without any serious geekiness. I think that's incompetence, isn't it? No? Good to listen to if you're stuck in a traffic jam. And Paul Stoneman, if you use Mac or think you're using Mac, then this is the show for you. News, tips and discussions on things that are Mac. Brilliant. All five stars. Thank you ever so much for everyone. Do appreciate anyone who goes and leaves a review. If you leave a review, you run the risk that we might read it out. So make sure you put something that doesn't make me find out where you live, because I'll be around. The Week in Mac. It's not a lot, really, is there? We've got Johnny Ive has got his knighthood. He actually finally picked it up, and he was done by Princess Anne, your mate, DHM.
Yeah, I noticed that she was there. That's probably why she wasn't in the market.
Yes. And Anne said, I tell you what, I really fancy being down the Cornhole, but instead I've got to dub Johnny.
Yeah. Wicked, I could have given her a note. I could have slipped Johnny a message. I said, when you're doing, Johnny?
Easy. We don't want, no, mate, there's limits on this podcast, and suggesting that Princess Anne would do Johnny is not one of them.
It's not
a limit. If she won't, I will.
Don't try that one at home, children.
Oh, I'm saying.
And then Office 2010 is going to come to Mac, allegedly, or to iPod rather, iPad eventually, in November. Apple have got a patent through for an optical stylus, which we can have a chat about, but we do bear in mind that Andy Natko says, don't read patents, whatever you do. There's suggestions that Apple's TV is not a TV at all, it's something else, but the article that I read didn't actually say what it was. And apparently Apple is still the most valuable brand. The best story by far, though, is on the good ship Disney. It's captained by a bloke called Nelson. There he is. And Nelson was caught out because he stole Kathy MacArthur's iPhone and took a picture of himself with it, which went onto her photo stream. And I don't know how, but she's worked out what his name is. And apparently he's on administrative leave at the moment.
Yeah.
So that means
maybe he wears a name tag?
Dead. He's dead. He got keel-hauled, hung from the yardarm, and thrown overboard to the sharks. There you go. I like to see that Disney is tough on piracy. Arr. There we go. The Week in Mac News. Want to do it again?
Arr.
Arr.
Oh.
That was pretty much it, actually. I've gone through all the stories that I can find on Apple Weblog everywhere, and there's nothing, guys. There's
they could be tougher on
great
piracy.
Stuff on Ars Technica we can talk about.
Right, let's talk about the great stuff on Ars Technica. Start us off, Chris.
You might have... It looks like you saw my report on some possible technologies Apple might include in the next iPhone.
Which would be?
For the camera. We researched a lot of different things and kind of considered, you know, what might Apple do for the next iPhone? Like, where can they go next? They're already at 8 megapixels. It's got a great sharp lens. You know, where can we go from here? And we looked at some sensors, but it looks like if Apple's going to increase the resolution any more than 8 megapixels, they're probably going to have to put in a bigger sensor. Because right now they're at about a third of an inch size sensors. They might have to go up to half an inch, which is the same type of sensor that's used in a lot of point-and-shoot cameras.
Well, if you look at the Nokia, I can't remember the number of it. Is it the 808?
The PureView.
The PureView
808. Yeah.
That's
a one-inch sensor.
Right. Okay. So is there no way on God's green earth that they're going to go to that? But don't forget as well that everyone's, and there's been some leakage this week, supposedly, of your iPhone is not going to be standard iPhone now. It's going to be the same height, but it's going to be elongated. Does that elongation give them opportunity for bigger battery and therefore bigger LTE or bigger camera? I mean, this is an interesting conversation as well, based on what you're thinking there. Does any of us think that the, if we do get that elongation and we get the bigger form factor, that gives space for something else?
No, the elongation is just the screen, though. The rumors are that they'll actually keep the same enclosure size. But see where you have the top and the bottom of the phone, you've got those great big white bands where you are now. Basically, they would just elongate the screen, so it's the same physical device. So there might actually be less room in there if they do actually do that.
Oh, there might be less room?
Well, it's just the screen will take up more of the forward face, so it's physically not going to get any bigger.
Well, the actual...
That's the rumour.
That's the rumour.
Now, to be fair, I'm not suggesting for one second that any of this is accurate. God forbid this show had done any due diligence. But the masks that were leaked out showed bigger, including white band. Are we saying that's not a goer?
Not that I've read. It's always been that they're going to use the same width, same number of pixels, because it's basically the same screen. It's just, instead of chopping it out into the current size, that they will just make it a bit longer and actually fit it into the existing phone or the existing phone dimensions. So you'll actually get more vertical pixels. Well, it depends which way around you have it, I suppose. But the longer way, it's going to be, you'll have more pixels, but across the narrow edge, it's going to be the same.
Right, I've got I don't know if any of you guys have got the feed on, but I'm going to show a picture here that's not going to show very well because you guys are all in the background. But basically, the thing that's shown up, this was an article that was on Mac Rumors. New parts leaked, including taller iPod Touch front panel, iPhone 5 cameras, as well as, and what it shows is an elongated screen. With that will go up to 4.1, but effectively that's the diagonal increase in measurement, so it's fairly big, and it's still got the white bands at the top for the home button and for the sensors and the earpiece, which I guess it's still kind of got to have, hasn't it? Because it's got to be utilized as a phone.
But does anyone feel, I mean, using the iPhone 4 and 4S on a regular basis, does anyone feel as, do you ever look at the screen and go, that's a bit too small for me, I wish I had more screen? I mean, I know there's always an arms race for size, but does anyone feel ever that it's too small?
Sometimes I do. The thing with me is if I'm actually using the phone and I want to read something seriously on it, I will tend to invariably rotate it so that it's in landscape mode. And of course, the wider it is at that point, the better, because, you know, it will actually display more information. So I'd be quite happy for them to actually elongate the current screen just by, you know, that extra row of icons width, really, because when you do turn it into landscape, actually everything will get bigger then, and that's when I want it really to be more clear if I'm actually reading something or if I want to
It would fit movies perfectly at that rotation, wouldn't it?
Yeah, they say it's not exactly 16:9, but it's as pretty close, really. So I think it's got legs, that particular rumor.
So I mean, if that came through, Chris, going back to your point, I mean, that really would give you more space inside. Would you see them going
potentially
to-
yeah there's potentially some more space. One of the things that we looked at was that Apple could use a folded optic. So I don't know if you've seen some of these really thin point-and-shoot type cameras, and they have this little opening for the lens on the front, but it says it has a 5x zoom, and you don't see the zoom anywhere. What they're actually doing is they have a reflex mirror or prism, so the light comes in through the lens opening in the front, and it bounces through the very thin part, and then the lens is like down or to the side in some other dimension internally inside the camera. And there's certainly possibility, if there's a little more room inside the iPhone, that Apple could include some kind of folded optic, and even give some optical zoom, so that especially if there's some more internal room in there, that would be, I think, a really smart way to really add to the camera.
Do you want optical zoom though?
Do I personally want optical zoom?
Yeah.
I could do with or without it. Personally, but I know a lot of people want zoom, and they use that digital zoom, and their pictures look like crap. So
for you and I as pros, mate, you and I know that actually a zoom lens is not the best thing to have in the bag because it makes you lazy and you don't get good shots. You're better off moving to get the good shots and seeing what you see and then taking the shot from it. So I don't miss having an optical zoom on the iPhone camera because I get off my arse and I go and shoot where I want to take the picture from, you know?
Sure. The other thing we thought, maybe a xenon flash would be nice. I don't know about you guys, but I turn the flash off on my iPhone and I never use it because I hate the way the light looks. I think it looks crap. And the truth is a xenon flash would look a lot better. But again, a larger sensor, the folded optics, xenon flash, those are all going to require more room inside, and there just isn't that much. But one of the hardware things we looked at that we thought would makes a lot of sense for the iPhone is using an alternate color filter array on the sensor. So, there's the common bare array that alternates red and green on one line and then red and blue on the other. And this is almost every color camera, digital camera uses the same pattern. But
this is what you would commonly term a low pass filter on your over the front of your lens.
No. This is the color filters that are over the sensor itself. So, image sensors only record brightness. They don't actually record color, so they have these filters over them. So some pixels have a red filter, some pixels have a green filter, some have a blue. And so what the sensor does is it reads off a red pixel, a green pixel, and a blue pixel, and then it combines values from nearby to get an RGB value for each pixel location.
Right.
And so what some other companies have been doing recently, like for instance Fuji on the X Pro 1, they have this new filter pattern that uses a different pattern, and what they found is that it reduces more effects and false colors to the point where they can eliminate that low pass filter that's usually used to make up, that low pass filter, the anti-aliasing is done to sort of make up for the fact that they have this, at each pixel location, they're not recording red, green, and blue, they're recording red, green, or blue, and then mixing from, nearby pixels. So Fuji has a different pattern. Some of the companies, I think Panasonic and Sony in particular, have been experimenting with what they call RGBW patterns. So there's a red, a green, and a blue on some of the pixels, but some of the pixels are just clear, and they record brightness, and this expands the dynamic range quite a bit. The downside is that color accuracy can sometimes suffer. But I think that, with the iPhone as it is, even at 8 megapixels now, for the majority of shooting, the slight decrease in color accuracy will be more than made up for increased dynamic range and low light shooting with an RGBW type array. And again, these type of improvements don't require it would require no changes at all to the hardware, except, having the sensor made with this different color array. And then just, the processing software would have to account for the different pattern. But other than that, those problems are pretty much straightforward. And in the case of Fuji and Sony, they have working solutions already.
Andy, in terms of the screen size, as the developer on the panel here, are you seeing that elongation of the screen as a worry or as a challenge or as a, I'm not really bothered either way?
It's both. It presents.
It's both of those three options.
Well, it gives you two issues. There's the more screen real estate you've got, the better for certain things when you're designing for that size. But if you're all the existing apps, unless you're recreating the assets for the UI, you're going to have to scale things, and you're scaling things into different aspect ratio, which could cause a problem for some apps,
games in particular.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything that's got an actual graphic that needs to be scaled is going to have issues to some degree. If you're just using the UI elements, buttons, table cells, that kind of thing, that's not so much of a problem because they're native components. They're almost pixel independent because of the way that Apple have managed the upgrade in screen size when they doubled to the Retina displays. But anything that needs to be scaled, that's where we're going to see some issues and some challenges.
Anyone? The thing is, though, this time around, I don't believe in WWDC they'll actually mention the physical aspects of the iPhone at all. We'll see iOS 6, but they're going to leave the iPhone, you know, probably till the autumn again.
There is rumours of summer, but there's rumours of autumn equally, so...
Yeah, to be honest, I think WWDC this year, there'll be a lot more about the Mac this time, because I think they're going to make a big splash with Mountain Lion and the new MacBooks. I mean, I'm really surprised, to be honest, that we haven't seen any of the new laptops come out yet. I really thought, you know, 3 or 4 weeks before WWDC, they'd just launch them. But I'm sort of the feeling I'm getting now is it's a bigger deal than I sort of anticipated, and it's something they probably will now want to keep for WWDC.
Well, new processors isn't going to be good enough to do that, is it? Are you thinking the form factor as well?
I think form factor and possibly Retina display as well, you know, and the and resolution independent side thing of things, you know, they're probably going to focus in a lot on that. So I think they're going to make a big deal about the Mac side of things this time around, which is nice, actually. I think that'll be quite a refreshing change.
But everyone said that the invitation was loads and loads of little of iOS icons again.
I mean,
no, I agree with you, Don. I agree with you.
We're going to talk about iOS 6. There's no question about it.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
We're going to see some from preview of what's coming, because... you know, it's the same thing. I mean, it's just the same thing. It's the reason why we've already seen stuff about Mountain Lion for months already, because they have to give some of that up so that developers are downloading the betas. They're paying the $99, they're downloading the betas, and they're getting their software ready for it. And the same thing is true of iOS. I mean, they're going to want developers to incorporate whatever new features they're including and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, if you think back to last year's WWDC, I mean, that keynote, you know, that was absolutely jam-packed with announcements. We had iOS, but all sorts of things. We had the, you know, iCloud, which was relatively new. And again, we're going to get the same this year. You know, there's iOS 6, there's changes to iCloud. There's going to be Mountain Lion as well, which is going to figure more prominently this time, because, you know, that's the final piece of the puzzle. And I've said before, you know, with Mountain Lion and its true integration with iCloud, you've got the three things. Then you've got iOS, you've got iCloud, and you've got Mountain Lion. And they're going to bring all those together, you know, at this WWDC. Plus, I think we're going to see, you know, some hardware revelations on the Mac desktop and laptop side as well. So there's going to be tons of stuff in this year's WWDC.
Chat room saying, how about a holographic projector built into the next iPhone? And there's no need to make it bigger at all. They're also saying, Retina displays, says Jimmy the Geek. I definitely want those. Plarson says, Mac Pros, ?
Yeah, right. That's for sure.
No? Not a chance.
No.
Why not?
I don't think Apple even remember they make them, do they?
They've lost them. There's some guy down in the corner of the factory churning out Mac Pros that are all hand-built, and it's like Fred, who's 70. And
you can imagine Tim Cook tripping over one on the way out of the foyer and looking and going,
what the hell is that?
Left that box there? What is that? Get rid of it.
And Streak says, the next iPhone is going to be a direct link to your brain. There's not going to be a screen or a mic or speakers or a camera. It won't be necessary.
Okay.
Forward vision. Well done, Streak. Glad to hear it, mate.
Yeah, I used to watch The $6 Million Man too, and yeah, I really want that to happen.
Could be. So no Mac Pro update? Not even just a Sandy Bridge Pro?
Who can tell?
Form factor change?
Yeah, there's definitely got to be a... If they do bring one out, it'll look completely different to the current one. I mean, there's just no need for this huge, honking, great big tower system that we have anymore. But, you know, I still think there is a need for a pro-level machine, you know, that's desktop-based. So whether or not they go all out and just beef up the Mac Mini or, you know, bring out a new form factor, I don't know. But they've got to have a pro-level desktop machine, surely.
Alex and Jimmy the Greek are kind of agreeing in the chat room. iMac Pro. That's an interesting new line. Instead of just being iMac Pro.
In terms of performance, a quad-core i7 27-inch iMac is pretty much a pro device. I mean...
I think the only problem that you've got with it, and particularly for something like this, is the fact you can't hide it under the desk. Because I don't need a display. I've got a 30-inch display here, and I've got a 28-inch display in front of me. That's two displays running off the Mac Pro under the desk. I don't need... a screen. So there's got to be an iMac in a box. It might not be Mac Pro anymore. It might be iMac in a box, but there's got to be something I can tuck away as a computer. Do you really want to go for the screen integration constantly with the whole of your line? Sorry, Chris, go.
I was just going to say, here's something to think about, is that people have been saying that exact same thing for a decade now. I mean...
Bring back the cube.
Right.
I like that box.
Yeah, you know?
I like the box. I want one.
I,
stack a load of Mac Minis.
I mean, there's a couple things they might be able to do here. I mean, they could certainly revise the form factor. I think there's a lot of room to make something a little bit smaller than the current Mac Pro form factor, but still have some expandability. And I think that there are, it's a small but well-funded market that wants these machines. And I think Apple can make money on them if they would bother to build them. I think that there's a couple things they could do. Obviously, they could just drop in the Sandy Bridge Xeons. I think a more radical change might be to do something like use some of the high-end Ivy Bridge desktop chips. And I think the biggest worry they might have with that is that it won't be quite the amazing blow-your-mind kind of system that the Mac Pro has always been, with basically top-end, you know, workstation server hardware. But maybe the market doesn't need that anymore. Maybe it just needs something that's a little bit expandable, yeah. Really high powered, latest processors. I don't know. I mean, I think there's a lot of directions Apple could go in. I'm honestly surprised that once the Sandy Bridge Xeons were shipping that they didn't ship an update. And so I wonder if there's, you know, like you said, a form factor change. Maybe something to do with Thunderbolt integration they're trying to work out. I don't know what it is, but I have a feeling. I personally have a feeling that the Mac Pro market isn't ready to die just yet. And I feel like the reason why we haven't seen that update yet is because Apple has something to add to it that's not ready.
Hang on, because Don, before we went on air, I mean, you're getting ready to pull out the elephant gun and shoot yours, mate.
No, I sort of made comments on my blog a while ago that, you know, I've got these two great big Mac Pros that they're on 24/7 and they're chucking out all this heat and energy and power. And
£256 a year it costs to run a Mac Pro constantly.
Well, there you go. And I just really don't need them on all the time anymore. And looking at the specs of even the current Mac Minis, I could probably get away with just a couple of Mac Minis to replace them, because these are 2008 machines anyway, and the latest Mac Minis, you know, are gangbusters. But if they bring out a brand new Mac Mini with, you know, these latest Ivy Bridge chips and stuff, even if they don't bring out a Mac Pro, I could easily see myself just getting rid of the Mac Pros and just getting a couple of Mac Minis and slide. I mean, there's some. What I want to do in the studio to try and keep the noise down is build like a small rack system that I can actually enclose and put some fans in and stuff.
You're desperate for Xserve, aren't you?
No, not really, but a rack-mounted one would be great. That'd be lovely. But, you know, two little Mac Minis and a rack shelf, that'll do me fine, because they've got Thunderbolt. You know, I'm trying to move everything across to Thunderbolt now anyway, so that ties in with that. So,
live?
I was going to say, you might like this. Sonnet makes a rack enclosure. You put a Mac Mini in and plug in Thunderbolt, and it has all these port replacements. That might be...
Yeah, you can put two in at once, I think, which is really nice. So I don't know, but I'm waiting to see what comes out of WWDC before I make any decisions, because that's...
Now, typically, it's always been the GPU that's kind of been the only bit of the new Mac Mini that lets it down. Are you thinking they're going to go to 1 or 2 gig on the card there and be done with it?
Yeah, really don't know. Really don't know.
Because I would have thought GPU was an important thing for you, Don, as a spec
really.
To consider.
No, not really, to be honest. I mean, the most processor-intensive stuff I do is encoding, you know, and but I don't create that much content that, you know, I've got a render farm sort of churning out stuff day after day. It's only a certain part of the week when I need to produce the show. So, you know, even if it takes slightly longer to do, I can just run it overnight anyway, so it's no big deal for me. So, you know, but in a proper pro house where you've got, you know, rows and rows of people working on motion graphics and stuff, and they're doing constant rendering and encoding, they might need that. But in a small shop like I've got, you know, I could get away with just a standard Mac Mini as it is now.
Well, I mean, the current specs are going to go up to, the current specs as they stand, is AMD Radeon HD at 6630, 500 gig hard drive, 4 gig of memory, which you can add to. I think that goes up to 16, doesn't it? And a 2.5 Core i5 processor is the top end. You can get the Core i7 if you go for the server. But the graphics are down on that. Is it what's got to change in that spec for you, Don, for you to make that leap from Pro to Mini?
Well, I think it's just the main processor chips, you know, I think if they compare them, and also the memory as well. I mean, it does help to have lots of memory, but you can upgrade the memory anyway. So.
Yeah, you can go to 16 in the current configuration, which is, I mean, 16, I can't see you using that up.
Just don't buy your memory from Apple when you buy your machine. No, that's the only thing.
Oh, no, it's configurable to 8, my apologies. It's not.
Oh, no, you can stick 16. Yeah, if you go to OWC, they do a 16 gig upgrade kit, and it supports it fine.
Oh, it does support it, because according to the specs here, it says it's only up to 8. So is that a frig? Or?
It does work fine.
Right. I'm just trying to look for the graphics card memory, but it doesn't specify.
It's 256.
Yeah, which is not a lot.
Mm. It is dedicated, though. But whereas in the lower one, it's system shared, so...
I've got to say, I mean, I've got a Mac Pro under the desk here, which is hot and noisy, and I've got to say, if that went to a 1 gig card for that, even on the current spec, I'd be very happy to buy it. If I could put 16 gig in with a 1 gig graphics card, that would do me perfectly. Run it on a shelf then instead of on the floor.
Yeah. They do fly. I mean, the i5 Mac that you're talking about, the Mac Mini you're talking about, runs 27p high-end game perfectly fine. It'll run a 1080 game with medium. So it is decent, but that's not, you know, related to what you're doing with the sort of stuff that Don's doing.
Well, I mean, one of the things that I know
isn't really that big a deal, I wouldn't have thought. I mean, for most of the stuff that you guys are doing,
Don's got far greater knowledge of this than me, and would, I'll stand corrected gladly. But one of the things that I think is that when I'm using Final Cut and I'm actually dumping out the video and crunching it, the GPU plays a big part in that crunch process linked with the memory of the machine. No?
I'm not sure actually if that is the case, because it might be true with Final Cut Pro 10, because I think that's been optimized for GPU, but for older versions of Final Cut, definitely not. It was just the actual cut, you know, the main processors themselves that actually did the crunching for you. But you know, you know, as Chris was saying before, what are they doing, anything special with Thunderbolt on you know, the new machines coming out? Are we going to be seeing sort of Thunderbolt enabled graphics cards or something down the Thunderbolt line to offload some of that processing to, you know, a separate device? If you really need high end graphics performance, you know, will we be seeing Thunderbolt enabled graphics adapters that you'll be able to hook into a much smaller machine?
No, I mean, if there was a bigger Mac Mini came out, I think I'd be willing to check what I've got under the desk here and have a Mac Mini and be done with it. Definitely.
Yeah, because the performance, and someone mentioned in the chat room, the performance difference that an SSD makes is amazing. I mean, my little MacBook, little 11-inch MacBook Air, you know, it flies with the SSD drive in. It could do probably with a bit more memory because it's only got the 4 gig of RAM, but, you know, it actually flies for day-to-day performance. And for encoding, it's not that much slower than the, you know, the 8-core Mac Pro that I've got.
Yeah, I mean, I noticed a step change with the SSD when I moved it from processor to processor as well. Mm-hmm. So going from the quad-core processor that was in my old MacBook Pro that DHM's on today, it ran okay, but there wasn't a massive speed difference from a 7200 RPM drive that was in there that you could notice. But as soon as I put it in with the Core i7 on the new MacBook Pro, bang! I mean, everything just flew from that point forwards. So more memory as well, though, to be fair, on that machine too. What's coming at WWDC then? We're not going to get a phone. You think we're going to get new MacBook Pros in different form factors. We run the risk of getting an iMac change. Any iMac change?
I mean, Intel has dropped all, and by the time WWDC rolls around the second week of June, Intel will have started shipping all of their new Ivy Bridge processors. So, I mean, potentially every bit of Apple hardware could be updated.
I mean, Super Chicken in the chat room is saying an end to optical drives.
I think so.
I think that's a given.
Yeah. I think that's a given.
Short odds on that one, dude.
What I would like them, though, is to have SSD and traditional drives as well, or hybrid drives, so that you can, you know, have an SSD to boot from and then have internal storage in the MacBooks. That might be the pro aspect that they might look at, you know, looking at revamping the MacBook Pro range. I have the pro moniker for machines where you can expand the storage internally, possibly. But the thing is, as well, there's so much pent up demand for Macs, you know, for the actual Mac now, because it's so long since everything's been updated. I'm just hearing loads of people who are just, you know, just straining to be released once they get these new machines to go ahead and buy laptops and desktops and all sorts.
Well, one of the things that really struck me this week, Don, and is the fact that we aren't typical And we forget that an awful lot. I mean, I look at certain products that I use and think what I want out of those products, and then when they don't happen, I get frustrated. But actually, if I sit down logically with a glass of whiskey and think about it, I didn't need 99% of the people that use that product don't need that option, especially with cameras. I get this, you know, I'm looking at cameras and thinking, well, that's a very mediocre camera. Well, it is a very mediocre camera, but it's for my mom. It's not for me, you know, and we do this with Macs as well. You know, are we expecting too much from the Macs that the general consumer really doesn't want?
Well, I think especially in the Mac Pro side, you know, the people who have got Mac Pros now, I think most of those have been hanging on for a refresh. And I think there's huge pent-up demand, you know, in the professional side of people who use desktop machines and have Mac Pros, that they've been sort of hankering for the new version to come out for such a long time that I think as soon as they are announced, you know, they'll fly off the shelf.
So if you don't get them, are you going to see people with pitchforks and lanterns heading down to Cupertino?
No, just tons of Mac Minis then. Who knows? No, I don't think so.
Anything else coming out of WWDC that we haven't discussed yet? Chat room, you guys, no? No iPhone, no iPod touch upgrade? Yeah. Bigger screen iPod touch?
Not at that point.
No, I'll bigger eye screen up to...
Autumn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It won't be to September.
It's for Christmas.
So it's the iOS 6 delivered, says Matt Bits. No?
No, it'll be another tentpole thing, won't it?
At WWDC, if they're going to change the aspect ratio, then... they'll need to say something to developers for give time for to prepare apps. So either actual content or at least you know, the usual leaked specs somewhere hidden in a plist somewhere.
Alex is saying in the chat room, 7-inch iPad. I've got to the stage now. I know that there's a screen coming from what our source inside Apple has said, and they're affirming that definitely. But I could see it being iPod Touch. It could be a pure viewer. Mobile MuView. No? Okay, quiet. Silence. Utter silence. Right, what do I know?
I don't know. I don't think they want to confuse the message in WWDC, do they? It's going to be iOS 6. You know, the main tent poles of what iOS 6 contain. All the low-hanging fruit's gone now. It's all the big stuff now that they need to, you know, mapping and other features they haven't got in currently in the current version. And they've been dead quiet for the past 12 months about iOS. And since iOS 5 came out, there's been sort of no real leaks as to what's been going on. So that's going to be a huge part of it. Mountain Lion's going to be a huge part of it. And the completion of iCloud as well is going to be a huge part of it. And then you have the whole infrastructure then from desktop to iOS device to iCloud.
10x in the...
It seems to be the wrong time to bring in, oh, and by the way, here's a 7-inch iPod Touch, which is, you know, a mini iPad. That's definitely got to wait now till Christmas, when that's the ideal time for it. You know, new iPhone in autumn, and a new iPod Touch if one's coming out, which is the new 7-inch iPad, perfect for the holiday market.
Well, we've talked about a lot about the hardware market there for WWDC, but not said a great deal apart from Mountain Lion on the software. What about things like iWork, iLife? Are they due a good kicking? Or
Well, again, it ties into the iCloud Mountain Lion thing, doesn't it? You know, with it being baked properly now into Mountain Lion, they couldn't probably roll out new versions of iWork and iLife until that was done. So if it's announced, if the release date's announced, we might well see the new iLife and iWork then as well, hopefully. Well overdue.
I think that they really are going to need to rethink the user interface for the full screen. Because especially iWork with all those like crazy palettes they have. I mean, I don't even like using those palettes, you know, even when I'm not working in a full screen mode. I just find them really annoying.
They're obnoxious. They need to be in something.
Yeah.
Especially if you've got two or three documents open.
Nobody should be taking interface designs from Adobe, though, as long as they're not going down that sort of black
Well, I mean, Adobe did well. I mean, I liked the layout in Photoshop 2. I thought it was very good. 4, it started to go off the rails particularly badly with these dropout sectional windows that aren't part of your actual working palette. And 5 is an abomination.
And 6 is no better.
No. Well, they're not going to go back from that, are they? But no. I like things contained in a window that with a sidebar that's got my palettes up, and I can switch my palettes in that sidebar, but I've got a definitive size of opening stuff up. And if you start opening up two or three pages documents or two or three spreadsheets in numbers, it gets very, very bad very, very quickly with the inspector floating around. You want the inspector to stay somewhere, and then you know what your workspace is.
I like the way that the inspectors and the panels work in Xcode. You know, you bring them in, you swap them out for other things, they're context aware. I just like the workflow that you get in Xcode. That would be a good model for how to do that type of thing in other applications. And, you know, as it's Apple's design philosophy, if you want to call it that, I don't see why they wouldn't bring that through to other apps.
So hopefully we're going to get an upgrade to iWork. iCloud is another one that's been touted out by the chat room. Got to be. Some integration with iCloud, iWork, Mountain Lion, because that's where the logical flow is, isn't it, I suppose?
It needs integration with those sorts of things, how much improvement they can do to any of those apps is debatable. There wasn't massive improvements in the apps the last couple of times. It was more window dressing from what I saw.
I was going to think, I thought of a really good question then, and I've forgotten it now. That was useful, wasn't it? What was I going to say? What were we talking about? We're talking about... no, I've lost it. Never mind. I've lost it completely. We've got a caption competition while I try and think of what I said. This picture, we're going to draw it next week on the Mac Show, so you've got a week to enter. This is Tim Cook sitting with John Boner, who's not called Boner apparently, but I'm not going to stop taking the mickey out of his name because I can. And they're sat there. He's the Speaker of the House of something in the States, and he wears pink ties. And I would like you to come up with a caption for these two people, and if you send it in to us, send it to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com and send me a picture with some speech bubbles, thought bubbles, whatever you fancy putting on there. You can even superimpose something that's not in the photo if you really want, and whichever's the funniest, number one's going to get a copy of Camtasia and number two is going to get Snagit, or you can choose which one you want and then the other one's going to get the other one that's left over. Send it to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. we'll draw them next week on the Mac Show and tell you who's won. And we've had a couple of doozies. We've had some really good ones come in, some that are very contextual around the current Apple news as well, which is nice. Yes,
are you really giving him grief for wearing pink ties, mate?
No, mate, I've got a pink tie upstairs. I've got about five ties upstairs.
Pink ties, you wear pink shirts an awful lot, mate.
Yeah, no, I'm comfortable with my sexuality, dude. I'm not bothered. Give us a kiss, I don't care. Teresa in the chat room says his name is pronounced Boner, not Boner. Oh, well. And apparently he's Polish. That
sounds like bouquet rather than bucket to me.
Well, how many people call death are actually pronounced death? I mean, they're Diath, aren't they, and all that kind of stuff. So,
Mr. O'Nions as well, isn't he?
We shall see. Tim Cook is coming up for kind of a year in post, isn't he? How's he doing? We're going to give him the corporate thumbs up. They're saying that Apple's still the largest brand going, which is good. But has he really fulfilled all the promises? Is he doing his own thing? And one of the things that I really wanted to make sure that they don't do at WWDC is leave a chair open for Steve, like Travelling Wilburys kind of thing. Because I think that would be really, really bad.
No, they're not going to do it.
You reckon?
Nah.
You reckon? No. I hope not. I really hope not.
It's time to move on.
Absolutely. So they have moved on. This guy has not followed the beaten path. I mean, we were talking before the show, Chris. You were saying, and Andrew, you were saying that there's some bit of unrest kicking around in a few people about, you know, the fact there's more people in meetings now. There's less decisive behaviour. It's a bit more management by committee. Is that good, bad? Is he a good CEO?
Well, I think even from way back before, you know, Jobs died, it was the one thing that I always thought, and it was on a very early one of the podcasts that I got some grief for going on about Steve Jobs' ideas of making Macs from cheese and everyone poo-pooing it. It's just like, that was the big thing with the company, that if you had somebody that could say, we're going to make this Mac from cheese, and a Mac would be made out of cheese just because Steve Jobs said it. And I know it's like that's kind of like to the nth degree, but yeah, the idea of product meetings turning around from the engineers saying, this is what we want, this is what we want, this is what we want, and it being delivered to them, to the slight mm-hmm. change to them saying, this is what we want, this is what we want, and the product people saying, you can have most of that, but a bit cheaper, is a small step from the spectrum from Apple to another company such as Sony mm-hmm. And maybe it's inevitable. In fact, it is probably inevitable. But I think that's like sign number one that, you know, people are saying, this is what we want. It is, damn it, that we must have this. And other people in the company saying, you can, yeah, sort of have that.
Right.
Chat room is taking you at your word here. They Street Machine says, you know, wants a cheeseburger, thanks to you. And iCyberPaul has suggested that the next processors will be iWensleydales.
Yeah, more on that later, by the way. I believe in professional broadcasting terms, I have a link back.
Oh, very good. Anyone else? Yes.
There's a couple. I think there's some interesting things that I think are important about Tim Cook's personality versus Jobs' personality.
He's got one.
I mean, Jobs was... he certainly did have a passion and a certain genius and a certain eye for detail, but he was also kind of a jerk a lot of the time, and he wasn't particularly very nice to people. And Tim Cook is really different than that, because I think that he's just as passionate about Apple, but he's just much more of a mellow, you know, almost like a Southern gentleman kind of guy. He's much more soft spoken. I don't think he takes any more than Jobs would.
Thank you. What's the time code on that?
Who's got the Wilbur?
That'll be 45 minutes. Go ahead, Chris. Carry on. You just said shit.
I don't think he's going to take crap any more than Jobs would. But he's more diplomatic, I think, than Jobs would have been. One example they talked about is that, you know, when Steve Jobs would eat in the cafeteria at Apple, even when he would go there, and he didn't do it all the time, but when he would only just sit with Jonathan Ive, and they would have lunch together, and he wouldn't really talk to anyone. Whereas Cook will just come down and sit down next to a group of random employees and, you know, chat with them, or, you know, listen to what they have to say. And that's a much different dynamic than what, you know, than what they've been used to. So, I mean... definitely externally, there's been no changes externally. Internally, there have been some changes. Whether that's good or bad, I mean, that's still to be decided. But, I think from a quick outsider look, it seems to be like the things that he's doing differently are probably for the better.
Now, overall. I've just got a Friday Night Live or Saturday Night Live sketch in my head, which is Tim Cook walking down and said, "Hello, random employees. I'm Tim Cook."
Hello, employee.
Don, what do you think? Thumbs up, thumbs down for TC?
Oh, no, I think he's doing a great job. But I think people need to remember is that, he didn't take over the company when Steve Jobs died. He's actually been running the company for probably a good 12 months before then.
Yeah.
So, you know, The guy has been doing a stellar job, but he hasn't just been doing it since Steve, mm-hmm. sort of left and then unfortunately passed away. But he's been doing it for months and months and months before then. So he's not sort of been thrown in the deep end. They've also had this, they've obviously been planning to the transition as well before then. So it's not a sudden thing. It's not a sudden change. It's not them turning on a sixpence and moving in a different direction. It's a carefully planned strategic way they've moved forward. And, you know, there've got to be changes inside a big organization like that. There has to be, as it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, how do you manage that size of organization? So, you know, I can't really fault the guy on anything that he's done. He seems to be a lot more caring. He seems to be a lot more passionate and involved in what's going on, a different style of leadership. But, you know, the results are showing, you know, that he's doing a good job. Now, obviously, what it's going to look like in 5 or 10 years down the track, who knows? But, you know, there's so many other factors that will influence that, you can't really say. But I think really, you know, he's a steady hand on the tiller, as they say, and he's leading them through in a good way. And the results are there to be seen. Of course, there was this thing in the news this week as well. He's turned down, the 75 million share option or dividend option or something. So he's, you know, so he's... all around, he seems to be an all around good guy, and he seems to be doing a good job.
So, the question would be in your mind is, where on earth would Apple be now had Apple been the vision, had Jobs been the visionary that he had, but hadn't pissed everyone else off?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, could the company be even further on than it currently already is?
Well, probably not. Probably not.
Well, but, you might have had the movie industry and the music industry on side a little bit sooner.
A more interesting question might be, where would Apple be now if Tim Cook didn't come on as the operations guy at the time? You know, if they just had Steve Jobs with all the innovation and the ideas, but they didn't have the logistics.
Yeah, he choked the crap out of the supply market.
Yeah, he did a fantastic job, you know, and if he hadn't have been there, would they be as big as they are now?
10X in the chat room saying Cook's been running the company for a decade. Maybe truer than you know, perhaps. This company, or this network, wouldn't survive without UK2. Please support them because they support us. They're really loving being associated with us. They've committed to us for another year. We give them return on investment, unquote. So there was a board meeting apparently a few weeks ago and our name came up and they're very happy because we cost them significantly less than they get from you. That you support them, which is great. So please keep doing that because we'd be lost without their support. We are also got a lot more joint ventures going on in the next few weeks. I'm going to the Marussia factory next Thursday with them, the F1 factory, to go around, have a look at the cars, talk to the team, that kind of stuff. I'm going to do a few interviews for the F1 show. I've asked if I can shoot any footage, but so far I've got a no, so never mind, eh? And that's it. You know, we're really closely tied in with these guys now, which is fantastic. They've been at it with us for now for 3 years out of the four that we've been running. You need to support them, then thank you, please do. But make sure you use the click through on our website. It's not so that we can get hits on our website, it's so that they can track that when you use the offer codes, they're the offer codes that we gave you out on the shows and stuff, and not that you've just picked them up off a bulletin board somewhere and put them in to get a quick deal. We get kudos for it if you use our click through. We don't get any kudos if you don't. So please do use ours. Even if you just want to sign into your own webpage, that kind of stuff. Offer codes are dead easy. You put in British Tech, and then all you have to do is, without a space, add on DNS, and you get rid of your DNS management charge. Domains, and you get 20% off domain purchases, which is pretty cool. I think, you know, other places are giving you 10% at the moment off domains. They're giving you 20%. And then you can put in VPN, VPS, any of those kind of things. Just keep adding codes on. Just make some up and see what happens. British Tech, Ewan. See what happens. You might get an empty basket. You might get zero basket. Who knows? Just give them a try. UK2.net. We love them to bits. Thank you ever so much for their support and sponsorship. We're also going to have a bash. Now, where's my bloody bash logo? It's disappeared. Sod it. I was really slick before. Oh, I've got it. Here we go. Here's my bash logo. Rightio. The bash is happening on the 6th of July. You come to Birmingham and we'll have loads and loads of fun. Don, you're coming?
Yes.
DHM? DHM?
Bought my ticket.
Good man. You're coming, Andy?
Yeah, got my ticket, mate.
You and Betsy are here. Smith are supporting us. They're providing us with a roast pig. And I'm doing some work for a firm in Birmingham. I'm talking to them at the moment, and they're going to provide us with some free beer and spirits and wines and that kind of stuff. And Mr. Anatko's coming over, so we're going to have a good old fun with him. And Chris isn't coming, but he's going to be there doing the show with us. We're going to do every show on the network on that Friday at some point. I'm not sure what the timings are going to be. So you really need to be there. Go to our website, britishtechnetwork.com, and you'll see a banner. It's this banner on the video podcast you can see at the minute. Click on that. That'll take you to Eventbrite. You can buy your ticket there, and you'll have a great time. It'll be a fun day. There's loads of local hotels that are available. The one over the road from me is full. So I'm afraid you're going to have to find someone nearer else. But it's going to be a great day. We'll start at 11 o'clock and we'll finish in the wee small hours of the morning. We've got a 5-acre field to do it in. So there's plenty of space. We've got power. Andy, you're putting together a super hub for us, aren't you, for Wi-Fi?
Yeah, that's the plan, yeah.
Yeah. We're going to tie all the MiFis together. So bring your MiFi with you. There'll be power for it. And Andy's going to tie them all together in a mega network that's going to provide us with bandwidth to, and I get really good coverage, by the way, on the 3 network down at my rugby plug. So Come along. It should be a great fun day. We'll have a great time. And Paul Kirkle, the iPad artist, has done three very special pictures for us. There's going to be prints of those down there, and they'll be on sale. And anyone who's there is willing to sign them, and he'll sell them to you. And all the proceeds from that are going to go to Will Green's charity, which is NSPCC. And if you haven't done it yet, then you really, really, really need to get the Will Green app. It's free. It's called the Green Counter, and it's in the iTunes store. And when you've got Green Counter down, you can count the number of times that someone swears on your podcast if you're a podcaster, or you can time packets or something like that as they go past. But there's also an in-app purchase coming, and the in-app purchase, all of the money from the in-app purchase is going to go to the NSPCC, and Will is recording some custom noises for when you punch him in the face. So that'll be well worth buying. And it's from a guy called Andy Vaughan, who is the guy who did Geek Badge. And here's my Geek Badge. I am 2.4, which I'm assured is actually fairly respectable. But I'm not a geek. I mean, if it was Photo Badge, I think I'd be unhappy at that. But for Geek Badge, I'm no programmer, and I'm no... I wrote a cricket board thing when I had a ZX Spectrum when I was a kid. But that's my honest score, 2.4. If you beat that, then... have a go, have a play, download Geek Badge and see what you get. Right, have we got any cool things, Mr. McAllister?
Go on, let's... I won't mention my application, but we will...
No, you can mention all of your applications, just don't say the application that can't be named.
What, the ScreenFlow one?
Sorry.
No. All right, then. Well, my pick for this week is my favourite Twitter client, because it's had an update this week. It's Tweetbot. On iOS, and they've just added in a mute keyword option. You've always been able to mute hashtags, and you've always been able to mute clients as well. So if you're getting, you know, Foursquare tweets coming in and stuff, you could filter all those out. But you could never filter out just on a keyword. So if there's a particular event going on that people aren't hashtagging, you know, you just had to.
You're not going to get through this without telling us what keywords you've filtered out, Don.
The only ones I've put in for now are Facebook, clout, and one other social media thing, I think, that gets on my nerves. But the rest will sure remain private, you know. But you can even use Regex. Is it Regex or Regex? Is it R-E-G-E-X? Regular Regex. Express. Regex, right. So you can sort of put two words in and separate them with a pipe, and it'll only search for those tweets that have both words in, and just filter those out as well. So very, very powerful. And also, if you're... unfortunately, they still haven't got a Mac client. We really, really need a Mac client. But
desperately.
Well, on the iPad and the iPhone, though, it will actually synchronize via iCloud. So it will synchronize the current position where you are in your Twitter stream, but also all your settings as well. So if you set up a filter on one device, it magically appears on the other device within seconds. It's fantastic. So Tweetbot, it's a great Twitter client.
Excellent, good pick. We love Tweetbot, and how much do you think it would cost to get them to do a desktop client if we paid them?
I'd pay them. I'm sure there must be one in the works.
I know that's the way that selling your app works. I'm not naive, but just let's do it the other way around. Let's kind of do a Kickstarter project for them making the app for us. That'd be good.
Hopefully.
Andy, what have you got, pal?
I've got a bit of hardware this week. An SSD. OCZ makes some blazingly fast SSDs. Their Agility 3 range, they're 500 read and write, in excess of 500 read and write. So they're pretty much the fastest on the market. They do 120 gig drive at the moment. Retails over 100. But on Amazon at the moment, it's available for 79 quid.
Yeah.
I'll pop a link into the chat room. And if you come along to LMUG's WWDC event in Marylebone on the 11th of June, you could win one. We're having a raffle and giving one away.
Fabulous. We like that. And there's some crazy prices on SSDs out there at the minute. I mean, Andy, you picked one the other week, didn't you, DHM?
Mm. Yeah. No. It's getting that way with the prices. It's no longer a stupid purchase, obviously. Yeah, some of the bigger capacities are still.
I think the one thing to say though, if you want an SSD just to get the kind of ambiance of owning one, and you buy a 60 or you buy a 160 or you know 120/256, if you can push the boat out, you're better off getting something higher. I mean, I've got a 512 in my laptop, and it flies, and it's got storage space, and it just if you're sitting thinking about, well, for another £50 I could get twice as much, spend the £50.
Just do it.
Mm-hmm. No question at all.
It's worth doing shopping around and looking at the specs. A lot of them are fairly slow. You want something that's at least 400 read and write. Anything lower than that is not worth the money so much. Lots of them are around at the sort of 500 plus at the moment. And they're not even the very expensive ones. They're affordable in reasonable sizes. So definitely make sure you look at the specs before you buy an SSD.
Definitely. I think I would say stay away from certain brands.
Absolutely.
OCZ, yeah. Crucial, very good. Kingston, not so much. Based on the fact I've changed. You think they're good or bad?
They're great.
Good.
Okay, AWC, good one. Kingston, I've had two in 8 months and ended up having to send both of them back to Amazon. They both crapped out and I lost data in both instances. So I'm not saying that as a generic they're crap, but I've not had good experiences.
There's a site I like to use called overclockers.co.uk, and all of the kit on there, they don't just sell stuff. They choose stuff because it's performance, because they're selling to people who push the limits.
Yeah.
So that's a good place to see what's actually, they're effectively recommending because they're choosing to sell it.
Right. Yeah, they're a good barometer. Would that be the word?
Mm. Yeah. Excellent.
Good pick, Mr. Forsman.
I don't have a pick.
Oh, you pussy.
Now, let's be fair. I told you before the show even started I didn't have one.
Yeah, but you've had an hour. We didn't start till half an hour after we were supposed to start. We were late. Sorry. Dude. You're pathetic.
I can live with that.
Okay. Okay, wear that one then. DHM, what have you got for us, pal? I know you won't let us down.
I've got two picks.
Oh, see, Forsman? That's what commitment. That's what commitment's about.
I'm just saying he's got my back, unlike you.
Double picking. Yes, okay. This one, I'll do my one first, and the second one is Chris's.
Right, you're a pussy for giving it away.
Nobody can win with you, can they?
No, not when they do nothing. Go on, Indiana. Thrill us.
There's an event happening in London in a little while. Some running around and jumping and all that rubbish. And the flaming matchstick associated with it came through our town.
£150,000's worth.
Yeah.
How come no one has been mugged whilst running around with that frigging torch?
Because it hasn't got to Hackney yet. As soon as it gets to Hackney,
it was stolen. Sorry, DHM, go on.
Anyway, when you get to London and you go to the Olympics, if we're allowed to use the word for copyright reasons, anyway, you will be faced with lots of opportunities to eat lots of lovely London food and drink lots of lovely London drink. Most of it will be associated with some very big name sponsors that have spent a lot of money making sure that McDonald's and et cetera is the only thing you can get your hands on. So you should download Burger App, which is a fantastic app and will tell you where to get all the best cheesy burgers in the capital. And when you've finished eating your burger and you're full of cheesy goodness, you can fire up London's best coffee app and you can avoid all the corporate coffee people that are desperate for your business.
Right.
So you can have a decent burger, because there's nothing better than a proper nice burger. And a really nice cup of proper coffee given to you by a strange Italian man in a dark place.
Hmm. And that's it.
That was it.
Thank you. Next one.
No, there was two. One was for burgers and one was for coffee.
Okay. Thanks, mate. It's really good.
Also, I'd noticed on a photographer, if you've run out of things to do with your iPhone, thinking it's a bit old hat, etc., etc., there's a Swiss camera company which Ewan's probably heard of called Alpa.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And if you exchange £10,500 for one of their devices, you can relegate your old style iPhone to the role of LCD viewfinder for one of their cameras.
Worth every penny.
Mm.
I think you'll find you can do that on quite a few other models as well, though.
Yeah, but this one looks rock.
Yeah, well, you paid for it, mate. I mean, and it probably doesn't take a better picture than something that's 300 quid that does the same thing. Though there's nothing at 300 quid that does LCDs, I suppose. But Rob on the subject of cameras, thanks for the link, Doc. I'll send you the fiver. My pick is 645 Pro. I talked about it earlier on in the show. I unashamedly took this one after Andy and Atco suggested it, and on his recommendation I had a play with it, and it really is superb. I mean, it effectively gives you pseudo manual control over your iPhone, and it gives you a wonderful, on the top right hand side and left hand top right hand side, there's an autofocus lock and an auto exposure lock, which is absolutely brilliant for metering where you want to take your shot, and it'll follow it around afterwards. So if you get a nice balance, you can then just shoot around and it'll keep the exposures the same as you go. On off grids, one of the things that Andy said was, he did a conference and he asked the people in the room, how many of you have got 2 second videos on your iPhone because you opened it up and you hadn't realized it was still stuck on video mode? And I haven't got that anymore, because if I want to take a picture, I open this. If I want to take a video, I open the iPhone video, and it's brilliant. It takes a great picture. I can't fault what I've seen come out of it over a picture taken by the standard iPhone application. I really can't see a difference. So have a play with it. I think it's £1.49, so it's not $1.99, so it's not exactly going to break the bank. And it's good. It's real good. I know that's a bit shaky, but I was only taking a picture of Andy Lee, and he's wearing black. Give me a break. Thank you. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. McAllister?
Well, you can find me over at screencastonline.com, which is my weekly video.
Where there's a new application.
Well, the new app's over on the Mac App Store and also on the iTunes App Store, and that's it. Good, well, mate. Just search for SEO Tutor and you'll find, I think there's about 5 apps now on both stores.
So buy them all.
Yeah, well, don't forget, I don't think I've been on since I made the Mac one, and the iPad one are free. If you want to try one out, don't go and download the Mac SEO Tutor for Mac or SEO Tutor for iPad. Might actually leave them free until Mountain Lion and iOS 6 comes out. So go and have it. I think one's about 3 hours long, one's about 2 hours long. So tons of good information.
Excellent. Thank you, mate. We will do. Mr. Lee.
You can get me on Twitter at Longball. You can get me via the London Mac User Group. lmug.org.uk, or for one night only, you can get me in a pub in central London, because we're all meeting up for Geek Pride Day tonight.
Geek Pride.
It's Star Wars Day, it's Discworld Day, and it's Tal Day.
Which are you wearing?
I'm just wearing black, mate, as per usual.
Yeah.
So look for
the black Tal. Black.
Yeah, I'll probably end up wearing my Elmo t-shirt tonight, to be honest. But if you search on Facebook for Geek Pride Day, I've already put a link in the chat room. I'll put another one in there now. If you look at me on Twitter, I've been tweeting about it.
And you're at Longball on Twitter?
At Longball, yeah.
Good man. Mr. Forsman, where are you, dude?
I am, of course, all over this, rstechnica.com. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's pretty sweet.
Just a little bit.
I am also on Twitter at Forsmac.
Good man. Thank you very much. Mr. DHM?
I will be in a fantastic burger joint drinking a lovely coffee.
In Stratford. Bam.
Are you the coffee or the burger, Chris?
I'm going to go with coffee on this one.
There is a phrase, DHM, about whether you're the burger or the bun, but that's a different thing entirely.
It is.
Right.
On the Twitters, at Dr. Happy Mac.
Great, mate. And Fixing Max. Cotswold wide and beyond.
Yeah, going to London next week.
And a professional Princess Anne pisser offer.
Mm.
Good.
Yes, that's probably the highlight of my CV at the moment.
Kudos. Absolute kudos, no question. I'm Ewan Rankin. You can get me on Twitter at Ewan Rankin. You follow the network at British Tech Network. We're going to be back in next week. We've got a full house planned, and there'll be beer drunk, so we can't be all bad. See you next week.